Chapter 23, Goodbye to Happy Hollow. About once a week, William Farnsworth hitched up old Pat to the buggy and drove the 3 miles to town. He was older now and enjoyed spending the day chatting with friends. "Here comes Uncle Bill," was the glad cry when anyone heard the special squeak of his buggy wheels. The entire town showed their love for him by calling him Uncle Bill. They had known him ever since they could remember. He was always there. Never in all his long life of 82 years had William been more than 50 miles from Washington. He belonged to this town, and when his neighbors were happy, they wanted to tell Uncle Bill about it. When trouble came and they were sad, Uncle Bill understood. He was a friend to all. He was honest and true and kind. No wonder they loved him. A few years later, when he was not well enough to leave Happy Hollow, friends came to chat with him and to gain strength from his bright Christian spirit. One day Orville, who was now a minister, a watchman for God, came home to see his father. William heard him open the door and called from his bed, "Watchman, what of the night?" "The morning cometh," Orville called back. Stepping quickly, he lovingly clasped his father's hands. "Orville," said his father, "never forget that you are a watchman on the walls of Zion." A few days later, William Farnsworth fell asleep in Jesus. He was laid to rest next to Sarah in the graveyard beside the little white church. Mother Cynthia and the family were sad, but they knew that soon the dark night would be over, and in the brightness of everlasting morning their beloved father would be with them again. No one was more pleased than Mother with the way the boys carried on the work of the farm. They were kind and thoughtful to her, for they knew her heart was heavy without Father. Every day she wondered what was best for her to do. She wanted the children to have more schooling, yet how could she manage the farm without them? One day a letter came from Loretta. She and Asa were living at South Lancaster Academy. Asa was president of the conference, and Loretta was matron of the school. Part of the letter said, "Mother, why don't you bring the boys and come here to live? I'm so busy cooking for the students that I need someone to help take care of Urban and Dory's. The boys and Nellie could attend the school. There is a large house near the academy in which we could all live. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be together again?" That evening, Mother read the letter to the family. They were all enthusiastic about going. After praying about it, they decided to make the move. Alton and his wife would live in the old home and care for the farm. Living in South Lancaster was exciting. With so many young people together, something was always happening. At first, the family from Happy Hollow felt lost, but Elmer soon helped them get acquainted. He had been attending the academy for 5 years. This year he was a senior. He knew everybody, and he saw to it that his family soon felt at home. Orville dropped in often. He lived nearby, and South Lancaster was like home, for hadn't he been present from the very first day the school had opened its doors 10 years before? It was a good thing they lived in a big 3-story house, for soon Nellie was bringing home her girlfriends. Ernest and his brothers invited their chums for taffy pulls, for an evening of popcorn and apples, or for singing around the fireplace. It wasn't all play, though. They were poor and had to work hard for food, clothes, and tuition money. But even if they didn't have as much as others, they were never short of happiness. Urban and Dory's liked the excitement, so did their mother, Loretta. The only quiet spot in the entire house was the front room, which was Asa's office. Chairs lined the walls for the ministers when they came for committee meetings. The desk was covered with papers and books, but the most important thing in the room was a large black typewriter. To Dory's, it was sheer magic as he watched his father's fingers fly over the keys. This machine was too precious for him to touch. Oh, how he dreamed of having one of his own. It was a tremendous desire, and the longing grew. Dory's didn't tease, oh no, but many of his dreams were out loud. Everyone knew there was nothing in the world he wanted more than a typewriter. One day, for about the 100th time, Doris said, "You know, Papa, just as soon as I get my own typewriter, I'm going to do all your work for you. I'll type your letters and sermons and anything else you want." Asa sighed and whispered to Loretta, "I'm going to put an end to this nonsense." "Doris," he called, "more than a typist, I need someone who can write shorthand. I'll make you a proposition. Just as soon as you can take down my talks and letters in shorthand, I'll buy you a typewriter." "Is that a promise?" asked the boy eagerly. "It's a promise. In the meantime, I want to hear no more about typewriters." With a great whoopee, Doris was out of the house and scooting along the path towards the home of the shorthand teacher. "Oh, please, sir, may I enter your shorthand class?" he blurted out as soon as the door opened. "What's this?" said the astonished teacher. "I want to learn to write shorthand, sir." "You'll make a splendid shorthand student in about 10 years," smiled the man. "I can't wait. I have to learn it right now. Oh, please, sir." "How old are you, Doris?" "I'm 9 and a half. I'll soon be 10, sir." "Most of the students in my class are twice your age, and some are more than that. Do you think you can keep up with the class?" "I can keep up. Honestly, I can," pleaded the lad, as the teacher left to answer a knock at the back door. "Elder Robinson," exclaimed the surprised teacher, "why did you use the back door?" "Is Doris in there?" he whispered. "He surely is, and begging to join my shorthand class." Asa chuckled. "That boy is possessed with a desire to own a typewriter. I promise to get him one when he can write shorthand. If you will let him attend your class for a few days, he'll soon decide to give up." "I see," laughed the teacher. "I'll tell him he may start in the morning." At 7 o'clock the next morning, Doris was sitting pencil-posed, eyes alert, ready for his first shorthand lesson. The class was over in time for him to reach his own school by 9. At first, the older students smiled and patted him on the back, but after a few weeks, they realized they would have to study harder, or that little 9-year-old would be at the head of the class. The teacher was delighted. Asa was dismayed. But true to his word, the next year Doris had his reward, a typewriter, and joined the typing class, a satisfied, joyous lad. Elmer was in trouble. He was out of money. He couldn't even pay the bills he owed. In only 6 weeks he would graduate. If he dropped out now, he would lose his credits and have to attend school another year. His friends and loved ones wanted to help him, but they were poor and had no money to lend. "Pray that the Lord will open the way for me to graduate," he asked his mother. That night, several earnest requests ascended to God's throne. The next morning, a letter came for Elmer. It was from a minister in another state. He wrote, "Our school board has asked me to invite you to teach our church school this coming year. We hope you will accept. Our present teacher is sick and will be in bed for many months. Could you come immediately and teach the rest of this year? We need you badly." Elmer read the message again. Was this God's answer to his prayer? He took the letter and hastened to see the president of the school, who read it, and went to talk with some of the teachers. "Elmer," he said when he returned to the office, "you have been a faithful student. You have worked hard, and your desire in life is to serve the Lord. We are willing to give you credit for the teaching experience you will have in the next 6 weeks. Though you will not be present for graduation, your name will be included, and we will mail you your diploma. God bless you." Elmer hurriedly packed his things and was ready to leave that very afternoon. He was beginning his long life of teaching and preaching. "God answers prayers," whispered Mother Cynthia as she kissed him goodbye.